Hey, thanks for tuning into the Learn to Code with Me podcast. In this episode, you'll find out how to come up with a good idea for a business, the most important elements of a business plan, the different company structures you can choose from, and much, much more. That's all coming up after a quick word from a sponsor and how you can support the show. The Tech Meme Ride Home podcast brings you up to speed on the day's top tech news, as well as the top tweets and conversations around those news stories in just 20 minutes a day. Search Ride Home in your podcast app and subscribe to the Tech Meme Ride Home podcast today. I hear every day from listeners like you how much value you get from the show, but each episode takes over 5 hours to produce. To keep putting out high-quality interviews, I'd like to invite you to support the podcast for as little as a few dollars a month. To find out more, go to learntocodewith.me/pledge. Hey, listeners. In today's episode, I talk with Nicole Swartz. Nicole is an attorney and the founder of the Sprout Society, where she helps women start and grow successful businesses. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, how you can start your own business. Our conversation looks at some of the behind-the-scenes operations that go into starting a business. It's practical, inspiring, and useful. If you're curious about working for yourself, this episode is for you. And before I run today's interview, I want to let you know about something special that's coming up with our 101st episode. To celebrate the podcast reaching 100 episodes in season 5, I'll be releasing a bonus episode where my good friend and former coworker, Jessica Tork, is going to be interviewing me. That's right, the tables are turning, and I'm going to be the one being interviewed. And to make this show even more special, I'm letting listeners submit their questions for Jess to ask me. So if there's anything you want to know about learning to code, the tech industry, or me in my life, this is your chance to ask. All you have to do to be able to submit a question that'll be answered in this special interview is become a patron over on the show's Patreon page. When you sign up at the first tier, which is just $3.99, you'll be able to ask a question to be answered. And you'll get a bunch of other goodies just for supporting the show. Here's the thing though, the deadline to become a patron and be able to ask your question is Thursday, February 14th, 2019 at midnight Eastern time. So if you're listening to the show when it comes out, you only have 2 days to sign up on Patreon and submit a question. To sign up as a patron for the show, head on over to learntocodewith.me/pledge. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/pledge. Thanks so much for supporting the show, and I really look forward to hearing your questions and answering them in this special 101st interview. Now, let's get on with today's show with Nicole. Hey, Nicole, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I'm really excited to talk about some of these business-related topics we've never talked about. We've talked about business on the show before in different ways, but not with an attorney. So that's going to be really exciting. I also wanted to give the listener some context. I've actually been following Nicole and her company, brand, whatever you want to call it, on Instagram for quite some time. I've shared things of yours before. So I'm really excited to get to chat with you, not in real life, but, through phone, not just following you on Instagram.
Basically real life. This is real life now, right?
Yeah.
Everything's online.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To get things going, though, could you share a bit about what you do?
Absolutely. So I'm an attorney and a business consultant for women, and I'm also the founder of the Sprout Society. So we help women start and grow their business, from business plans to the fun stuff like branding and marketing and sales, to the not so fun stuff like operations and legal and finances and all that stuff. So I'm based in Los Angeles, and I started my career working at the Securities and Exchange Commission. So we regulated securities of publicly traded companies, and we generally just make CEOs like Elon Musk angry. And then I started practicing law at a firm downtown, and we worked with a lot of startups who are securing funding at the time. And a lot of my girlfriends were starting companies too, so that was really exciting, and they would come to me for legal advice. And I was like, oh, just come to my firm. You can be a client. I'll help you that way. And the firm was like, no, we don't really want these women to be our clients. because they didn't really take them seriously, or they didn't look like a founder, or they didn't understand their business. Like an 8-year-old partner at a law firm doesn't really understand the importance of a makeup line that's like inclusive of all skin tones. They're just like not going to get it. They're like, there's one kind of makeup. Why do you need more? So I decided to leave and start my own law firm, and I started Sprout Law. So we are a law firm for women entrepreneurs. And I started that last year, and it was amazing. We grew really fast. And after the first year, I sent out a client survey, and I was like, what else can we help you with? Like, our entire mission is to help women entrepreneurs. So how else can we help you? And the results were pretty consistent. People were like, we want to know who did your branding, who does your website, who does your social media, like, how do you get sales? How do you run your business? How you handle your finances? Like, they just basically want to know how I ran my business. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can definitely help you with that. So we recently expanded to the business side as well. So now we have legal, and we also have consulting and downloads, courses, workshops, in all different areas to help women start and grow their business.
That's really awesome. So excited again to have you on. And it is really interesting how people wanted, beyond legal advice, other kind of like logistics and business help in other ways. And of course, you're like an expert on this area. So excited to dive into all these things. I'm kind of like backtracking and going to the very beginning, like in someone's journey. Like, if someone wants to start a business, they just aren't sure what to build. What advice could you give about choosing a business idea?
Okay, so I really think that like any idea can be successful. I mean, someone became a millionaire selling pet rocks. So for me, like the idea isn't as important as the execution, but having a good idea certainly helps. So I see this really beautiful thing happen. My sort of theory is that when you combine your three main interests into a company that never existed before, because no one thought to combine these three very specific things, I think that's when the magic happens. So in my business, like my interests were law and business and working with women. And so that's what I created with my company. And it doesn't really exist anywhere else. Like you can see combinations of two things, certainly, but I've never seen anyone who does all three very specific things. So that helps a lot from branding and marketing, but it also helps personal satisfaction wise. Like, I'm working on this idea every day for 10 years. So I want it to be something that I'm really passionate about and excited to do. And one of my favorite clients, like their interests are traveling and connecting people and like luxurious vacations. And so they put together a travel company that connects women, specifically mothers and daughters, on these luxurious vacations. And that didn't exist before because no one had that exact same combination of interests. So I think taking a look at where your interests and experience is just naturally, and then picking maybe three or four areas and combining those into something that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I like that. But I also hear from folks all the time. So we're a podcast about learning how to code, how to transition into tech. And people will write in asking about like just building side projects or side hustles, whether that's to make extra money or whether it's to use that to land like a job offer so they can like add experience to their portfolio. And oftentimes people are like, I have no idea what to build. I have no idea what to work on. And, you know, maybe I'll give kind of advice like, oh, follow your interest, what you're interested in. And they're like, I'm not sure what I'm interested in. So what do you say to someone who kind of isn't really sure? Maybe they have so many interests. They have like 20 interests. They're not sure what to hone in on.
I think maybe going to your experience too. So it's like, what things have you done in the past that you're just naturally good at? Because yeah, we all have so many interests. I could probably name like 100 of them right now, but going back to maybe what your jobs have been in the past, I think too, just something that you just naturally feel like you have a talent to. And another thing that I've seen people do successfully is thinking about all of your past jobs and kind of finding the patterns within those. So maybe they're not all in the same industry, but maybe you had a similar role or similar things that you did every day that you can find a pattern there, and that can sort of help you figure out where your natural talents lie.
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like looking at your interests, looking at your talents, looking at like the combination of the things that you're good at that you're also interested in, and kind of like deciding from there. I'm going to move ahead a little bit now, so past the idea phase. And I notice a lot of what you talk about like on Instagram and on your site and in other areas has to do with like the business planning, I guess you could say, the business planning and the logistics and the operations and goal setting and all of that. So looking at business plan specifically, what important elements make up a business plan?
So yeah, I think the business plan is really important. I talk about it all the time because I started my business without one, and I really saw how much of a mess it became because I was just having a really hard time making decisions in my business. Like, I was saying yes to things I shouldn't have been saying. I was saying yes to everything. And then I was also like, it didn't make sense, but I was actively going after opportunities that made no sense for my business. And so after I was sort of sat down and was like, why am I spending my time, my money on these things that like didn't work out? And it was like, oh yeah, because you don't have a plan. You're just sort of winging it. So, that's how I sort of came up with the groundbreaking concept that a business plan is a good idea. But for me, the three key parts are the company, the marketing, and the finances. So the first one is the company, and that's just the big idea that you're building. So where are you going with this in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years? And I think this is the most important part because when you're making so many decisions a day, like as an entrepreneur, we just have so many decisions. It's like a choose your own adventure that you could go 1,000 different directions. And for me, I have my business plan sitting on my desk, and every decision that I make, I look at it just quickly. I mean, now I can do it, you know, in a second, I just think about it. But in the beginning, I was really looking at it every time and thinking, is this decision actually getting me closer to this company goal? And if it's a yes, then I can do it. And if it's not, then I feel more comfortable saying no to something. So I think the company is a big part of it. And so, and then sort of fleshing out, you know, what is the company? What does it look like? What are our values, our mission? Where are we located? You know, just the basics about what your company is actually going to be. And then the second piece is the marketing. And this is more about like your dream clients. So a big mistake that people make with their business plan and with their marketing is thinking that your dream client is everybody. And that's just not true at all. So you have a very specific customer profile of people that you are speaking to with your company and that you're helping. So figuring out who those people are, where you can find them, and the best ways to talk to them. Like what should you say to these people in a very specific and targeted way? And then the last piece is the finances. So I'm not going to lie, these pieces are scary for a lot of people, for me included. And the first time that I wrote an actual number down, I was like, this is never going to happen. Like, I will never be able to make this much money on my own. And I felt really silly just even writing it down on the finances page. And that number was actually pretty small. It was $40,000. So I made that pretty quickly. But it's just something in your mind. It just feels very uncomfortable to even write down a number. But you just have to do it anyways, because there's no other way that you're going to get there unless you know where you're going. So for me, the pieces are the company, marketing, and the finances.
So I have a few follow-up questions about that. Do you have this in a like physical doc or in a Google doc?
Yeah. So I have a physical doc. I actually took the one that I created and then I sort of honed for a year, and I turned that into a download. So we have a downloadable PDF where you can like fill it in. It has all the same things that I used, and it's on our website. And I actually took my husband through the process like a couple days ago, because he's starting his own little side hustle, so we sort of worked through it together. But yeah, it's the same one that I use, and it's on our website.
Ooh, nice. And another question, how often do you update your business plan?
So I update it quite a lot, I think. Like, not the big pieces, those pieces generally stay the same, but I think so much of what we do in business is just having to adapt and like be flexible. So a lot of times I'm just constantly learning new stuff about my business and about my clients and what they want. So I feel like I probably update it every couple of months, just tweaking it here and there.
Oh, that doesn't sound that often. I thought you were about to say like a couple times a week, but a couple times a month or every few months. Okay. That definitely makes sense. And then lastly, how long is it? Cause you mentioned, right, these three different pillars, like, is it pretty high level? Like, how detailed do you get for each one?
So I kind of keep it somewhere in between. I think the business plan itself is maybe 10 pages, maybe less. But it's not like 10 dense pages. It's 10 like pretty minimal pages that are not overwhelming. The whole point of it is that I want you to like flesh out your ideas and really work through this company in your mind and challenge yourself, but not feel like you're spending all of your time on this stupid business plan. You just want to start your business already. So somewhere in the middle.
Perfect. Yeah. Cause I feel like, and myself included, I can get really caught up in the details sometimes, and then it'll prevent me from executing, or I feel like then I'm not executing fast enough. And it's really hard to like find that balance. And that that goes beyond a business plan. That could be like any kind of project you're starting, like the research and the planning and, you know, the outline, whatever else goes into it versus like the execution.
Absolutely. I do this all the time. Like, I just want to sit and play with my to-do list and like move things around instead of actually just like getting stuff done on my to-do list. So I think with the business plan, I think there's definitely a period of time where you need to sit down and really think about it. But once you've sat down, you've worked through it in a really considered way, like you've researched it, you've looked at it with a critical eye, and sort of pointed out, you know, your weaknesses, your challenges, things that you have to learn in order to make this business successful, and challenge yourself on these pieces. Once you've done that, then you're ready to get started.
I have a lot of follow-up questions on this, I guess. But I was also wondering, do you have like a set schedule that you review it, like a calendar reminder or something every couple months to go back and make those updates?
I don't, but I should. It's just something that, because I have it literally sitting on my desk, so I just naturally see it. And as I'm going through it, I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know that this sentence is right anymore. Like, I've learned a little bit more about my clients. I don't know that, like, so a great example would be, last year I thought my clients were mostly on Instagram, and I was like, you know, I don't think that Pinterest is the right fit for my clients. I thought it was maybe an older demographic, and my clients are generally like 20s to 40s. But for some reason I was thinking Pinterest was like 60-year-olds. And now I'm like, that's not true at all. I didn't understand the Pinterest audience. So, you know, now I'm doing more stuff on Pinterest. Now I'm doing more stuff on YouTube. And, whereas before, you know, I just didn't know enough about my people to know that they were actually there. So because it's on my desk, I think I just naturally see it. And as I'm sort of messing around with stuff in the office, I'll just, cross some things off and edit it.
Yeah. I feel like I wasn't even thinking about asking this question, but it feels like so natural. And it's really important, I think, for anyone who wants to start their own business. And even if it's just a side hustle, you keep mentioning your audience and your ideal audience and where your audience, you know, is, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube. How are you figuring this out? Like, are you sending out surveys? Like, what are you doing to get this information?
Yeah, so I think the big piece, and I talked about it a little bit earlier, but it's that your dream audience isn't everybody. So even like Apple or like Starbucks, these companies that we think like everyone shops at, not everyone goes to them. They have very specific customer profiles that they target. So they'll say, like, you know, maybe one of their profiles is like a woman who's in her 20s and she's like a single mom and she's going to get coffee because she needs energy. And then like maybe they have like a 40-year-old executive. Like, they just have all these different demographic profiles. And so that's something that I think small businesses can and should use to make their market more effective as well. And so what I've done in my business to find this information is I sent out a survey before I had started my business at all, when I didn't even have an audience. I think I had like 200 Instagram followers, and I just sent out a survey. I made like a Google Doc or a Google form, and I just sent out a survey that was like, where do you get your business information? Like, what kind of stuff do you want to learn about in business? What are you struggling with? Just sort of everything I wanted to know about them. And then, you know, they answered it, and that gave me some information. And then as my audience grew and I felt like things had changed a little bit, like I was just getting a bigger sample size and maybe I was getting more demographics and I just wanted to know more about them, I sent out a survey again at a couple months ago. And so that's sort of how we expanded the business as well.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. For two decades, techmeme.com has been the website people in the tech industry visit every day to keep up to date with the latest tech news. Even Mark Zuckerberg's a fan. In a recent profile in The New Yorker, he named it as the site he gets his news from. The Tech Meme Ride Home podcast takes what techmeme.com is good at and distills it into a short daily podcast. It's the same news headlines, the same up-to-the-minute news, plus context and conversation around what's happened each day in the world of tech. This is Silicon Valley's Water Cooler podcast. It's how you stay in the know if you care about technology. A new 15 to 20 minute episode drops every single day around 5 p.m. Eastern time, bringing you up to speed on the day's events. Keeping up to date on the tech industry has never been easier. You can listen on your drive home from work, while you're washing the dishes, or walking the dog. So search your podcast app for Ride Home and subscribe to the Tech Meme Ride Home podcast today. Every day I hear from listeners who tell me how this podcast gave them the confidence to keep learning to code, how a guest's advice helped them land a job in tech, or how just listening to the show gave them the understanding they needed to feel comfortable talking with others about technology. If you find the show valuable and would like it to continue well into the future, please consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. For as little as a few dollars per month, you'll get access to behind-the-scenes information about upcoming episodes and be able to have a say over the topics we cover. And if you'd like to pledge more than that, there are even more goodies that are available for you as a backer. For example, a free copy of my LinkedIn ebook, The 5-Day LinkedIn Crash Course, access to my list of special discount coupons for courses and services that I love, and more. Learn more about everything that we have on Patreon and pledge your support at learntocodewith.me/pledge. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/pledge. Gotcha. So I'm going to switch gears now a bit and talk about some of these other things I really wanted to get into, moving past business plans. However, I feel like I could ask you 1,000 more questions about it. So another thing that, and I know like nothing about this, but the types of businesses that people can register, and I'm thinking, you know, LLC, S-Corp, I know there's probably like several others. Could you talk just a bit about like what these different structures are, and does everyone need to set it up, or is there like a certain point where you should start thinking about this for like tax reasons or whatever?
Okay. So if this is what you're wondering, like we are about to get into it. So let's do it. Okay. So there are a few different company structures that you can choose from. So the first one is like a sole proprietorship if you're operating your business by yourself, or a partnership if you're operating it with someone else. And that happens as soon as you start operating. So as soon as you're like, I want to have a business, you're a sole proprietor. So you get a company structure kind of by default. And with this structure, it's great because you don't have to do anything with it. Like there's no paperwork, there's no fees, but the downside is that you're personally liable for anything that happens in your business. So any debts or lawsuits that you're company incurs, you'll be responsible for paying that out of your personal bank account, your house, your car, like anything that you own. So that's pretty risky, and it's really unnecessary because the second form, an LLC, is really, really simple, really cheap, and you get that limited liability. So it's a company structure where there's just typically one form that you have to fill out online, and then you're not personally liable for anything that happens in your business. So that's usually the most popular and the one that I recommend to most people. The third form is a corporation, or what we call a C-Corp. These are a little bit more expensive and there's more regulation that goes into them. So you have to have like annual meetings and bylaws, and sometimes you have to do certificates, that kind of stuff. And this is typically what you choose if you're looking for funding. That's not always the case anymore, but traditionally this is what investors prefer because it's the only company where you can issue preferred stock, which is the equity that you give to investors. So that's definitely a benefit. But the downside here is that you're actually taxed twice on your profits. So the company is taxed on them at first. And then when you take money from the company to pay yourself, you're taxed on that money again. So that's not always ideal. And that's why there's something called an S-Corp. So a common misconception here is that an S-Corp is actually its own structure. And it's not. It's just a tax designation with the IRS. So if you're an LLC or a C-Corp, you can elect to be taxed as an S-Corp instead. And it's just a more favorable tax rate. But you do have some limitations on investors. So you can only have 100 investors. And they all have to be U.S. citizens. So, okay, that's a lot on company structure, but it's actually really simple. And we have a download on the website. It's called the Small Business Checklist. So if you want to learn more about it, that's where you can find it. But just know that there's not really a right structure for everyone. It just kind of depends on where you're at in your company right now and where you're looking to go. And then,
I was going to say, we'll also add all these links in the show notes, but go on with what you're going
to
say.
Yeah, I was going to say, to answer your second question, registering your company, generally, it just means like completing the government paperwork. So I don't think that everyone has to do that from day one, but there is a critical point when you need to register because your business is growing. And I think that's just when you really start when your business really starts taking off, like when you start getting serious about it, because you're signing contracts, you're hiring, you're bringing in a good amount of money, and if you're looking for funding, like I think these are all key points when you want to have that registration because you want to have that protection. Another key piece is if you're working with a co-founder, then I think you need to be registered from day one, because there's no limited liability in that partnership that we were talking about before. So you're going to be personally liable for anything that your partner does. So if they're just like making it rain out there, then that's on you too. So you definitely need that protection with a co-founder.
Oh, yeah, that's a good tip. I never even really considered that, honestly. I'm not really that knowledgeable in a lot of this kind of different structures and tax and funding and data, but I mean, I just learned a ton. So thank you for, thank you for sharing all that. So, and you did mention, you know, if a person's just starting out, it's just them, maybe they're making some money from like YouTube monetization because they're putting out videos. I feel like you don't need to run out and like get an LLC, but once you, or, you know, S Corp or what have you, but I feel like, yeah, as you said, once you're taking off it, it makes sense.
Yeah. I think like once, if you're like an influencer, once you're signing endorsement deals and like, as soon as you sign that first contract, I would say that's the point. I mean, ideally the point is like a few days before you sign the first contract, but like that's the tipping point, I think.
Gotcha. So you've now been in business. So wait, so how long have you actually had your business for now?
So I think it's been a little bit over a year. I think it was a year in October.
Oh, awesome. Well, congratulations. Yeah, and I was going to ask, what do you know now that you didn't know when you first started it that you wish you did?
Okay. I feel like I have three things. Is that okay?
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So the first one is that things are going to change like all the time. Like I feel like we already talked about this when I was talking about my business plan, but, and how often I adapt it, but I think that's okay. Like that's supposed to happen because you just need to change and stay relevant in business and starting out with a good plan and then being flexible enough to adapt. Cause sometimes I will sort of be hard on myself. Like, you know, you need to stick to one thing, like you shouldn't be changing it. And I just don't think that that's sustainable to just never change. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why my law firm, I think, has been successful is because I'm adapting the legal market and there's not that many lawyers who do things or talk like me or dress like me or look like me. So I think that that innovation and changing things and adapting is a really great thing. The second one is that mistakes are totally fine. And I, in the beginning, got really scared of making mistakes that I would just not really want to do anything. Like it took me a long time to even start my business because I was just too worried about messing it up. And so I think that just putting yourself out there and being uncomfortable and be constantly learning is such a big part of it that I just wasn't expecting. I thought like, oh, it's going to be great. And I had no idea how many pieces of it would just be challenging to me personally and how many times I would mess something up that was like really, really simple. So I think as long as you're learning from your mistakes, making them is just a part of business for sure. Cause honestly, no one really has it locked down. And then I think the last piece is the biggest one. This is the number one thing that I wish that I would have learned is that don't take everyone's advice, because when you start a business, everyone that you know comes out of the woodwork and they have advice for you and they probably tell you to go on Shark Tank, no matter what your business is. But the biggest mistake that I made was listening to all of these people who meant really well, but they just had no business experience and they just had no idea what they were doing. So I started thinking about it like, if I'm doing what they're doing, I'm going to get the same results that they're getting. And so if they haven't been successful in business or in life sometimes, then, you know, if I'm taking their advice, I'm going to end up in the same place. So I think being more cautious about whose advice you take really does make a difference. I know I would have saved myself a lot of time and money and mistakes if I found someone whose business I really wanted to emulate and listen to their advice above everyone else.
Oh yeah, that's a really good tip. And you answered a question I was thinking in my head. Like, right when you said that, I was like, oh, I have to ask her what the criteria is for taking someone's advice, and you already answered it. So so thank you. And I kind of want to circle back a little bit, because in the intro, you were mentioning how you were working full-time at a law firm before going off and starting your own. I was curious, did you start your own business while you were still working full-time? Or was there like, okay, I'm quitting my job and then I'm starting the business?
So I actually started it as a side hustle. So in that first job that I had, I wasn't able to practice law somewhere else because I was an attorney there. And so I quit that job and I got a different law job
where I was a contract attorney. So I was just like reviewing contracts basically and documents. And that job didn't have a problem with me having my side hustle. So I did that job for about, let's see, I think I got that job maybe 6 months before I started my firm, because I had a period where I was just sort of planning for a while and I wasn't really executing anything yet. I had a really long like planning period. So I think I had that job for about 6 months before, and then about 3 months into my firm, I was like, oh, this is actually taking off, and I had like sort of supplemented that income. And for me, the point when I realized I needed to quit my actual job that was paying the bills was when my income that I was making from my new side hustle from my own firm was almost to that level. So when it was like I was bringing in almost the same amount, I was like, that's it for me.
It's always interesting, like navigating the like starting, because I, as someone who was, you know, doing Learn to Code with me and working full time, it's like really, really hard to give all of your attention, or I mean, it's impossible to give all of your attention to two things at once, right? Like you can't really focus 100% on your business while you're working somewhere else or doing something else. But then it's also like you don't want to jump into it without some kind of income or revenue stream, some kind of savings at least to hold you over. So it's, yeah, I just love hearing from people who like start their own businesses, like how they kind of approached it and transitioned.
Yeah, I think too, I mean, for me, like the tipping point, I feel like in my business was when I went full time with it, because I was just able to devote, as you were saying, devote like all of my time to it. Whereas before it was like I was doing it at night, or like, you know, once I had already put in all these hours at my other job. So it was like I was coming into it tired. I just didn't feel like I had enough time to devote to it. So then once I actually did, is really when it took off.
Yeah, it's really hard to do two things at the same time.
Yeah.
Yep. So final question. Do you have any parting advice to listeners who want to start their own business?
So I feel like it really comes back to what we were just talking about, which is I would say just start it. I think that I've been thinking a lot that it's starting a business is kind of a lot like having a baby, in the sense that like you never really feel ready. I think like you could sit here and plan for years and you still wouldn't feel ready to do it. But I think just go for it and you will definitely figure it out along the way.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that could go with a lot of things, not just or any kind of big risk. It's like you're never going to be 100% ready. Mm-hmm. You're never going to feel that way. You kind of have to, like take the leap, not knowing exactly where you're going to land, but just having faith that you're going to like land in a better place than where you currently are.
Yeah, and sometimes you just have to like make it up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for coming on. I love chatting with you. And as I said, we're definitely going to include links to the resources that you mentioned in the show notes. And listeners, you guys can check that out on the website, you know, when it goes live. And where can people find you online, Nicole?
So you can find me at thesproutsociety.com. As you were saying, we have business plans, legal checklists, a whole bunch of downloads and courses to help with every aspect of your business.
Perfect. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you guys so much. I had so much fun.
If you enjoy learning about the tech industry through this podcast and you're wondering how to enter it yourself, you should consider doing some freelancing. If that sounds scary, don't worry. I've put together a freelance starter guide for newcomers to the tech field. It will help you work out if freelancing is right for you, how to get your first client, how much to charge, and loads more. Oh, and it's 100% free. Request your copy at learntocodewith.me/freelance. And thanks for listening to the Learn to Code with Me podcast today. Take care.